Joining us now, John Isley from Aircraft Operations and Paramotors, and he lives down the street, and he's been a longtime volunteer, third-generation aviator, all that kind of stuff. John, good to have you here.
It's great to be here. I'm honored. Grew up here volunteering, listening to EAA radio, and it's kind of surreal to be on the other end of it now. It's crazy. So I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Good. And introduce your partner here as well.
This is Alexis Quintana, and she's also a volunteer and paramotor instructor and a member of our Arrhythmia paramotor team that will be performing at the Twilight Flight Fest this week.
Let's start with the basics.
Sure.
What is a paramotor?
So basically, it's a two-stroke engine that you wear on your back like a backpack. You run into the sky. You can also fly a trike, and you fly a paraglider, which looks in appearance similar to a parachute. So you basically run into the sky and are flying around in a flying lawn chair, and it's aviation, fixed-wing aviation will always be my first love. But with flying powered paragliders or paramotors, it is a fully immersive, totally different flying experience that I am just totally in love with.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, how you became a third generation aviator.
Sure. So my grandfather flew in the Air Force. After he got out of the Air Force, he went into the FAA, and ironically, formed a lot of the regulations that paramotors operate under today, which this is actually going to be the 40th anniversary of Part 103 this year, which is, I think, a very special, you know, anniversary to me. So he raised my father flying, and my father raised me flying. I think I had my first flight in my logbook at about 3 months old, and 34 years old, and this is my 35th air venture, because I count the year that my mom was pregnant with me here.
There you go. And you've also established a school as well.
Sure. Yep. My school is Paramerica, and I provide entry-level foot-launch paramotor training in Hartford, Wisconsin, so about 40 minutes south of here, and I also travel around the country and work with other instructors like Alexis as well.
Good. Where are some of the different places you've gone?
I've instructed in Florida, Wisconsin, obviously, Michigan, South Carolina, Georgia, and I think one of my favorites was Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So is this something that you're based here in Wisconsin during the nicer weather and then move around the country when it's not so nice here?
Yes, that's the plan. It's okay. It's not impossible to train in Wisconsin in July, but it is fairly uncomfortable, so I like to find some warmer locations throughout the winter months. Yeah.
Yes, you have to snowplow the runway before
you
take off.
And it's funny, I do have some friends who have flown with skis before, too, on their paramotors as well. So, yeah, you just got to be really good at layering.
Yeah, very good at layering. Alexis, how about you? How did you get involved in this?
I actually didn't start into aviation until the last about 8 years ago, and I worked as an accountant for an FBO out in Colorado. Really wanted to fly, and it took me a while to figure out how to get into flying because I couldn't get a medical. And I actually met John volunteering in the South 40 in 2019, and that's when I decided to jump into paramotoring and got training, and now I'm instructing.
Excellent. How long does it take to become an instructor?
I would recommend people get started for about a year or two and start apprenticing with other instructors. And it really depends on how often you're flying and, you know, whether you're living in Wisconsin or whether you're living in Florida, you know, because their flying season is much longer than ours. But I recommend to folks after their first year or two, if they're interested in beginning instruction, that's when they should start looking at it.
Talking with John Isley and Alexis Quintana, talking a little bit about paramotors. What is going to take place this week at the Fun Fly Zone?
So we're really excited about the Twilight Flight Fest. I'm also managing that event, so I'm kind of wearing two hats for that, which I'm really excited about. But we'll start with the EAA STOL Invitational. That will start at 8 o'clock. That will run for about 30 to 40 minutes. After that, later on in the week, we'll have the Black Fly aircraft doing a demonstration, which I think a lot of people are looking forward to. After that, we'll have the Arrhythmia paramotor team performance, which I'm obviously looking forward to. And I think tonight, I'm really excited about our winds. I think we're going to have butter smooth, calm skies. After that, we'll have the Patriot parachute team as well as the Red Bull Air Force parachute team. And we'll finish the event with an intro to RC flying. It's an AMA, kind of this is what it looks like to get started. And after that, we'll move into some more exciting, aggressive type 3D RC flying. So it's always a really fun event to perform at because it's such an intimate, close crowd line, and it really allows people to see this stuff up close. Like when we land, when we get done with our performance, we can walk right over the crowd line and give everybody high fives, you know. So it's a really fun venue to perform at.
And exactly where on the grounds is the Fun Fly Zone, for those who don't know?
Yep. So the Fun Fly Zone is a little bit further south of Show Center. It's at what's formerly referred to as the Ultralight area, next to the big red barn out there. Just south of Vintage and north of the South 40.
There you go. Now, Alexis, is this the first time you'll be performing? Or
nope.
You have performed here before?
Yeah, okay. We performed with Arrhythmia for the first time last year, and this will be Arrhythmia's third performance.
Good, good. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
And John, you're—I don't know if everyone knows this—but you're a little hobbled. You got a little gear problem there.
Yeah. So I like to explain to people that my landing gear folded up, you know. But it was just kind of a weird fluke. You know, my knee just kind of twisted awkwardly. I'm almost considering telling people that I just kind of twisted it walking down the stairs. but you know, the good news is we had a backup pilot already on our team. And we were all going to have to draw straws to see who was going to do the direction on the ground. We all want to fly, obviously, and at least when this happened, I was like, well, that simplifies the problem. So,
when you say that directing on the ground, explain exactly how the performance works.
Yep, so our pilots actually aren't talking to each other. I'm talking to them, so I'll be on the ground. We have a routine that we're following. Everybody knows where they're supposed to be. And I'll be sequencing them. I'll be telling them to turn on smoke. I'll be telling, you know, A team or B team to speed up, slow down, turn in, turn out, and really just kind of sequence everything, kind of like a band director would.
Yeah. Well, and that runs in the family as well. Your
exactly.
Dad was a band director for many years and still continues to volunteer here.
Yep.
And what about your duties with air operations?
So during the air show, I work with a lot of the volunteers on the ramp and a lot of the air show pilots, EAA staff, and, you know, just coordinate some of the logistical things that happen in the event of an air show, as well as managing the Twilight Flight Fest. So with my brother, who's also air bossing it.
Oh, so. Good. So since you've been here, you're 35, 36 years?
Yep. This is my 35th year. I'm 34 years old.
Okay. What are some of the things that strike you when you look at the event today compared to 35 years ago?
Man, I was watching a DVD from Oshkosh 88 with a friend. It's actually his first time at the show, and he's performing here. And, you know, I was explaining to him, I was like, look, man, like, we're standing on the shoulders of giants here. And to watch this video from the aerial views and see how much things have changed and also how little they've changed it's really trippy. And just to have the opportunity to perform here after people like Dwayne Cole and Charlie Hillard, I was like, wow, who am I? Like, I'm so honored to be a part of this. And it's just such a special event to so many people, and we're really excited to have this opportunity.
The 1988 DVD. Huh? Yeah. Okay. That was originally on VHS, by the way.
It was.
And that has the world-famous theme song, Something in the Air.
I love that song. That was my hype music coming up to the show every year as a kid. And I'm glad you appreciate that, because I don't know if anyone else has heard that song.
Yeah, well, yes, I did. I was actually working in the PR department at the time. John Burton, yeah. Who is our PR director, wrote the lyrics. And we sat in his office and bantered those back and forth. And yeah. If you listen to it, it's a little corny, but it's still it's
has a
it's
very
still a catchy
special
tune.
Place in my heart.
And probably for many EAA members. Again, the Fun Fly Zone, where is it located and what nights are you performing?
So the Fun Fly Zone, it's south of Vintage, north of the North 40, next to the Red Barn. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday night, the event starts at 8 with the Stole demonstration. And we'll go throughout the week. I just like to remind people that it's not during the main show, which is on Wednesday and Saturday, and we don't do one on Sunday. Obviously, everybody will be gone by then.
Pretty much. Even though we told Jack we'd stay for 2 weeks.
Yep. But, yeah. Some people do.
That's right. Alexis, any thoughts from you before we wrap up about being here at AirVenture again and looking forward to performing?
Yeah, it's just a privilege to be here. It's fun the last few years getting a little bit more involved, not just being a spectator. So really enjoying it so far.
Good. And if someone wants to get involved, how do they contact you?
They can look. So one of the interesting things about our team is we're all paramotor instructors, and we all represent our schools. So I'd suggest going to arrhythmia.com, where you can learn more about our team, learn more about our members and instructors and schools. We also have a new Facebook and Instagram page that they can follow as well.
Excellent. And you'll be posting pictures and videos from the performances this week?
We will be, and we're really excited to see the pictures and the videos that everyone else has taken as well.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Excellent. John Isley and Alexis Quintana, we appreciate you taking some time out of your show to be with us this morning. And you're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.